For most people, homelessness is one of the most undesirable states of being imaginable. Over the weekend, the 24/7 street kitchen and safe space for homeless people in Martin Place was shut down and deemed a public nuisance that affected the reasonable comfort and convenience of the other users of the area. With the 2016 census results showing that over 100,000 Australians are now living without a roof, it's apparent that the problem is only growing. But do we care?
They're people just like you. They're people just like me. Except they're people who live without a roof.
I spoke with Lance Priestley, local Sydney man who sleeps on the streets and who the media has dubbed Mayor of Sydney's Homeless. He was the one who started the 24/7 street kitchen and safe space.
We set the space up at short notice in response to a group of women who were long-term street sleepers, who pulled me aside and said, we don't feel safe anymore. We're waking up to guys trying to sleep with us. Mm. And in a couple of cases, successfully and with multiple guys. At that stage, you say, we have to do something and we have to do it now. We didn't have very many resources. We had a little gas cooker and a pot and a kettle and a bit of food. And so we started cooking that, and we started telling the homeless community in general that we were setting up a safe space in our 24/7 kitchen, and we started telling the public that there was a problem. It's how communities used to be before they started thinking that government would actually do everything. Contrary to popular belief, not very many homeless people come onto the streets with mental health conditions. That's not to say they don't end up with them after dealing with government over lengthy periods of time.
I also spoke with Dr. Catherine Robinson, an international scholar and national advocate on issues related to homelessness, including complex trauma and violence. So one of the key words that we hear when the issue of homelessness is brought up is invisibility. How does this feeling of not existing or being invisible impact the greater well-being of the homeless population?
It impacts them in a number of ways. I think in that really, you know, big picture sense, invisibilisation, if you like, of homeless people as humans is a deep and profound problem.
Yeah.
But that then sets up practical problems too, because if you don't exist as a human, then you certainly don't need services that are going to help you. And so there's a kind of flow on between, you know, that bigger, big picture invisibility where, you know, our capacity to care for homeless people and to want to care for homeless people then actually starts translating into our willingness as a society to provide safe places and properly funded services that respond to the broad spectrum of needs they may have.
Sure. And why do you think people feel so comfortable looking the other way? Why is it that human empathy seems to be cut short when it's confronted with a person who's without a roof?
I think at some level, people experience what I would describe as compassion fatigue. I think in the contemporary world, we're actually exposed to so many people in lots of different ways, you know, through social media, through other electronic forms of communication, that I think in order to sort of protect our own privacy, I think we become more defended as people as we go about our normal life. I think we're quite defensive in the contemporary world.
Yeah, and then there's this common idea that if someone is homeless, then they deserve to be there or they've done something wrong and they're living with the consequences. Like, I'm sure everybody's seen the Mission Australia ad that's on a lot of bus stops at the moment where it's this pregnant woman staring into the camera and it's captioned with something like, "My baby deserves a safe home." And I'm sure this message is effective, but it exemplifies the idea that people only want to help the innocent, and in this case, it's a baby with a clean slate. Do you think that to confront the stigma towards the homeless population, people need to stop being so presumptuous of the backstory that led someone to their current situation?
Absolutely. And, I mean, at the end of the day, if someone's in need right now, I think it's irrelevant how they got there. I mean, our first response should be to help that person. And a way of thinking about this is, For example, if somebody goes on a bushwalk, right, in the Blue Mountains or somewhere, and yep. they get lost, questions are not asked within emergency services. Yeah. Is this a good person? Has this person ever used drugs and alcohol? Do you think we should go and search for this person? Because if they've made mistakes in their lives, or if they've had struggles in their lives, or if they've experienced structural inequality in their lives, we're not going to mount a search party. So it's like there are rules that are applied to some people and not to others.
But then there is the unfortunate reality that sometimes somebody may lose their home and be forced to sleep on the street without any pre-existing mental illnesses or substance abuse issues. But then statistically, like, these issues seem to kind of come with the territory. And it ends in this vicious cycle where people are without jobs or shelter, so they develop these debilitating issues which prevents them from being able to get out of the situation. Do you think there's a way that this cycle can be broken?
Yes, I do. And I think there are lots and lots of specialists in our community, in Australia and overseas, who have extremely solid evidence about what works to end homelessness. And I think rapid rehousing is absolutely central to that. But I guess I would also emphasise that, particularly for those people who are experiencing homelessness long term, housing alone is not going to be the full response to the range of issues that they face. You need to be able to sustain a happy life there. And if you've experienced compounded trauma, for example, throughout your life, then you're going to need a lot of support to deal with that. If you haven't had much of an opportunity to receive or access a good education, then again, there's going to need to be a range of supports to help you develop those skills that might make you more able to apply for work, that in turn might make you more able to get enough of an income to support your housing and sustain that housing into the future.
So you think that the practical solutions kind of are there abstractly, but it's going to take this shift in public consciousness to materialise them and make them a reality?
Well, it is a shift in public consciousness, but it's also how that shift in consciousness then translates into political will. I mean, there is money within Australia, within the Australian government, but it's about priority. What priority do Australian governments and do the Australian people put on providing social care in fullness to all those who need it?